Anya stood outside the mess hall for a moment, letting the frigid wind wash over her. If only it was that easy to wipe her fears away. She could see the light on in Garin's tent. She could wander over and tell him about the conversation she'd just had, but was any of it really news to him? Another stiff breeze blew snow at her from the side. She turned away and saw the line of snowcats parked under a frozen tarp. She thought about grabbing one, fueling it up, and heading back to McMurdo. With the GPS system, it wouldn't be that difficult finding her way back. Once there, she could tell the marshal about everything that had happened. If nothing else, he might be able to protect her. She shook her head. Whom was she kidding? Traveling alone in Antarctica? In the dark? It was a recipe for disaster. It might also make her an easier target. She turned and walked through the snow toward Garin's shelter. Love him or hate him, he was at least a connection back to the outside world. Anya bent lower as the wind blasted her. She tried to take herself out of the direct path of the gusts. It was brutal out. Anya wondered why anyone would come down here to put up with these conditions. She was thankful they at least had the generator going to provide them with warmth and electricity. If the generator was gone, they'd all be dead. She stopped. The generator. It was nuclear-powered, the first of its kind. Small, compact, and powerful. It had to be worth a lot of money to someone, especially nations that were desperately trying to acquire nuclear power.
Oh my God.
She hurried through the snow. Had someone orchestrated this entire thing, knowing that the military would use the new generator to power their camp? Had they come down and faked the dig sites, the mineral deposits, and more, all for a chance to steal the nuclear generator? It would have taken an awesome amount of planning. It would also take a devious mind that knew how to manipulate events and people to the extent that it could work. She frowned. But where did she fit into the picture? Why was she being targeted for death? Anya stopped in front of Garin's door and pounded on it. Garin blinked at her.
Anya, what is it?
I think I know. Ooh, let me in.
Of course, hurry.
Anya hustled past, and Garin shut the door.
I think I know what this is all about. It's the nuclear generator. That's what they're after.
Who?
I don't know that yet.
Yes, I think I see the potential.
Think of what emerging nations would pay to get their hands on something like that. Nuclear power, portable, and they could probably copy it so they could then produce others. It would solve their energy needs, and at the same time, put them at the table of the other nuclear powers.
Interesting. And not exactly comforting, since my shelter actually backs up to it.
Garin reached into his parka and withdrew a large caliber pistol.
I guess I'll be keeping this handy for the next couple of days. So, this entire thing was designed to get the Americans to bring one of their new super-secret nuke generators here?
Anya sat down in a chair and tried not to mind the gun in Garin's hand.
I think it's the only thing that makes sense. The relics are fake. The mountain, while it might contain plenty of minerals and deposits, wouldn't be something that someone would be able to swoop in and make a quick buck off. That leaves the generator.
I wonder what the plan is. I mean, are they simply going to drive it out of here? It's not exactly the kind of thing you could just take. Everyone would know the instant we lost power. Obviously, it's protecting us. Lose that protection and people will die.
And where would they take it? McMurdo's still a long haul.
Yes. Still too many questions left unanswered.
But at least we know.
True. But in this case, that might harm us more than protect us.
How do you figure that?
If the people plotting this find out that we know, then we'll naturally be the first ones they seek to eliminate.
Your suggestion about sleeping with my sword? I just might do that.
Good. At least I don't need to give you a weapon now. The enlisted men might mutiny if they saw that. They think you killed their commanding officer.
Speaking of which, did the satellite phone that you took from Dave's pack survive the explosion in Thompson's shelter?
It was pretty mangled. I don't think you'll be using that to call for help, if that's what you're after.
I just wanted to return it to him. But if it's gone, then I guess he'll have to manage without it.
Garin got up and walked over to his bed.
All right, then. If that's all you've got, I should get some sleep. Unless, of course, you'd like to spend the night with me.
Don't you ever give up.
We might both wake up tomorrow dead. Did you ever think about that?
You must have splinters from scraping that cliché off the bottom of the barrel. Good night, Garin.
Be careful, Anya.
The winds whipped through the camp, sliding snow all over the place. Bits of it pelted Anya's parka and face, and she blinked, trying to get her goggles and mask back in place before her exposed skin froze. She moved through the night and headed back to her shelter. Sleep would be a welcome relief for her. She dreaded telling Dave about his satellite phone, however. If she got out of this alive, she'd buy him a replacement as soon as they managed to get home. If she got home. Her skin crawled with the thought that someone was trying to kill her. Anya passed the entrance to the dig site and paused. She wondered if the research team really was blowing the wall to open up another cavern. She looked around but could make out no one watching her in the darkness. The snow blew hard, blinding her as it flew in horizontally. Anya ducked into the shelter. The guards who had been stationed there were absent. Anya shook her head. Once the commanding officer was gone, discipline apparently went out the window for this unit. She grabbed a hard hat, put it on, and switched on the headlamp. Poor Thompson would be disappointed. Anya unzipped her hood and parka and walked down the long, sloping tunnel toward the fork. The lights overhead swayed, causing shadows to flicker and move, obscuring the terrain. As they settled down, she could make out more pockets of coal in the dirt and rock of the mountain base. Her boots skidded along the loose gravel on the path. She made herself slow down. The last thing she needed was another concussion. At the fork in the tunnel, Anya turned left and headed down into the darkness. There still weren't any lights strung up in this part of the dig site, and it bothered her. Wouldn't the other team want to be able to see as they made their way down to the cavern? Ahead of her, Anya could make out ambient light coming out of the second dig site cavern. Anya reached the entrance to the cavern and stopped, worried someone was down there. In front of her, she could see the massive wall of granite. It would take a lot to blow that apart. And it was strange that she could only make out a few of the holes that she'd seen the other team mining with explosives the day before. Had they changed the wiring since then? Anya stepped into the cavern. She froze, waiting. No one came running. Taking a quick glance around to reassure herself she was alone, Anya closed her eyes and saw the sword hovering ready for use. She opened her eyes again, her confidence somewhat restored. Carefully, she moved around the cavern to the boxes of high explosives. Opening one of the crates, she was surprised to find it empty. Where was the rest of it? She glanced at the granite wall. It seemed utterly impenetrable. How in the world would they blow that in such a way that they could gain access to the other side? Wouldn't they have to dig out all the rubble before they could do so? Anya walked over to the granite and stared at it. Up close, something about it seemed odd. She ran her hands over the surface and froze. Her heart rate kicked up a notch. It didn't feel like rock at all. She pushed.
Oh my God. It's all fake.
It felt like a combination of papier-mâché and plaster. Anya moved closer to where the wall seemed to vanish into the side of the cavern. She searched for the edge, for the place where the wall met the real rock and dirt of the mountain. How many people were involved in this from the start? Anya had seen at least four people in here yesterday. All of them were busy planting explosives. Was the entire camp planning to steal the nuclear generator? Anya thought she found the end point of the fake wall. She felt farther down toward the ground and found a little bit of purchase. She tried crushing the wall inward, but it held. So instead, she pulled back. Anya got down on her hands and knees and looked through to the other side.
Oh, God. Oh, crap!
Piles of explosives sat from the floor to the ceiling of the cavern. Whoever had planted them wasn't trying to take out a wall. They were trying to demolish an entire mountain. Anya turned and found herself staring into the barrel of a gun. Behind the gun, she saw a face she hadn't seen since her first night at Gallagher's bar. He smiled broadly as Anya raised her hands.
Remember me?
Yeah, I remember you. You're the jerk who hassled Zack. And then later on, you tried to kill me.
Guilty as charged.
You got a name?
You can call me Mitch. That'll do for now. You know, at least until you die.
Where's the other guy?
Right here.
Anya turned and saw the second guy from the bar entering the cavern.
Nice to see you again, Anya. Sorry about what happened to your ribs. I hope they've been causing you a great deal of pain.
He looked at Mitch.
No one saw us come in after her. Let's do it and get the hell out of here. Things that go bang make me nervous.
And what's your name?
Chuck.
Mitch and Chuck. You guys are behind this whole operation? Somehow I just can't see that.
Mitch shoved the gun closer to her face.
Shut up.
Yeah, this was far too well planned to be orchestrated by you clowns. Someone else has to be pulling the strings.
Mitch, can't we just kill her now?
You know what the orders are. It has to look like an accident.
Yeah, you guys might want to rethink subtlety when it comes to wiring my laptop to explode. That wasn't going to look like an accident.
Nice piece of work, huh?
Oh, that was you, Einstein. Yeah, real nice the way it was shaped to blow in only one direction.
I had to make sure we got the target.
Well, you missed, didn't you? I'm still here.
She thinks we wanted to take her out? She doesn't know a damn thing, does she? And here we were, concerned that she'd be able to figure it out and ruin the whole thing.
You wanted Colonel Thompson dead? Why?
Because you'd be out of the way, that's why. If it looked like you'd rigged your own laptop to explode, then we hoped that fool Major Braden would have you locked up for murdering Thompson.
But he didn't. Not that it matters anymore.
Chuck busied himself with positioning a small black box in the center of the explosive bundles.
And he'll die soon enough anyway.
Anya was glad that Garin might be able to survive the explosion, but she wouldn't. She had to get out, and she had to warn Zack. Anya knew now. He had to be behind this whole thing. But Dave? She thought back to Gallagher's and how quiet he was when Mitch and Chuck came to the table to harass Zack. Dave hadn't done much of anything. He was content to let them rile up Zack and Anya. Mitch hadn't moved the gun barrel, and he was far enough away that making a move on him would have been extremely dangerous. She had to find some way to close the space, or she'd be shot several times before she could reach him.
So, Mitch, where's Dave?
What are you talking about?
Dave, the guy behind this whole thing? Where is he now? If he's hurting Zack, I'll kill you all.
I don't know what's funnier. The fact that she has no clue, or that she thinks she's going to be able to kill us.
I almost feel sorry for you, Anya. Almost, but not quite.
Anya saw some movement from somewhere behind Mitch. Someone was coming. All she had to do was keep Mitch and Chuck occupied, and then they'd be surprised when they saw the new person show up. Anya could use that to her advantage and jump Mitch and his gun. Anya's heart sank when she saw Dave.
Hey, Anya.
Suddenly, she realized someone was pushing Dave into the cavern.
Zack?
Zack poked Dave in the back with another gun.
Get over there next to her and don't try anything.
What the hell is going on here?
You're right, boss. She doesn't have a clue.
It's a shame, really. I so hate for this to have to end this way. But that's how it comes down sometimes, huh?
Wait a minute. How did you get mixed up in all of this? I thought these guys hated you.
Yeah, well, that's the way we wanted it to look. We figured if you were so preoccupied with the thought of Mitch and Chuck here gunning for you, you'd miss seeing what was going on right in front of you. Apparently it worked like a charm.
Why the hell did you bring me down here? I mean, if you're just going to kill me, then what's the point of asking for me in the first place?
I never thought they'd actually go and get you, to be honest. The winter was coming down, and when I made my request, I figured it was a given they'd tell me no. Instead, they got you down here in record time, and suddenly I had a big problem. I need you out of the way, Anya. There's too much at stake here to let you interfere with it.
The relics are fakes.
Oh, obviously. We planted them.
But you've been digging your heart out every day. For what? Just to sell the appearance of being obsessed with this?
Pretty good, huh? I never knew I had it in me. I'd give myself an Oscar for it, but I suppose I'm a bit biased.
What about the divorce? And the kids?
Oh, hell, they left me a long time ago. Anya, it's been years since we last spoke. That's okay, though. This project has been everything to me. The payoff is huge.
What payoff?
It's twofold, really. We take the nuke generator and sell it to the highest bidder on the black market. It should fetch us a cool $2 billion at the very least. At the same time, when we blow the mountain, the assumption will be that this is an environmental disaster area. They'll send in a cleanup crew that will discover that this mountain is actually filled with tons upon tons of valuable minerals and chemical deposits. Navstar will come in as the contractor to clean it up, and when they discover the deposits, they'll remove them as well.
Meaning even more money.
Lots more, in fact. Easily enough to set up the three of us for life.
What happened to you? I would never have thought you could do something like this.
I grew up, Anya. I was sick of hearing about how everyone I know was getting success handed to them on a platter. Day after day of getting news about so-and-so buying a new vacation home or investing in the next great dot-com. You know what that's like? Meanwhile, your family hates you and you've got a crummy two-bedroom bungalow outside Tampa where you spend most of your time killing cockroaches and praying there's not a bad hurricane season. Well, that's enough to make anyone ambitious.
But to go as far as murder?
I recognized early on I wasn't necessarily cut out to be the trigger man. But finding capable talent isn't that hard. You just have to know where to look. Mitch and Chuck here are experts. Former military with combat under their belts. Not to mention the all-important explosives work.
What about Dave?
Well, Dave here is a bona fide special agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Anya stared at Dave, who shrugged.
I thought you were the bad guy. Sorry about that.
Well, no hard feelings.
Anya looked back at Zack.
So, he was sent to dismantle your operation?
Well, we had a tough time figuring him out. He played the geologist very well. But when you went and used his satellite phone, we got a little nervous. You see, he's not the only one with a sat phone. I've got one, too.
You're full of surprises.
Oh, you have no idea.
Mitch still hadn't done much in the way of moving closer to her, and Zack seemed perfectly at ease. Chuck was still rigging the explosives.
Now what?
I'm afraid your deaths are necessary to ensure that our plan comes off without another hitch.
And the three of you will be the only survivors? How suspicious is that going to look?
Not suspicious at all. You see, we're bringing the Colonel's body back to McMurdo. We're on a mission of mercy. How could we have known that this entire camp and its inhabitants were about to die?
Poor you.
Money is the best grief counselor.
Wait a minute. There's one thing I don't understand.
Just one thing?
Yesterday, I saw members of the other research team planting explosives in here. But that wall is fake. Anyone would be able to see that if they felt it. Why didn't they know?
Chuck, show her.
Chuck walked over to a section of the cavern she hadn't explored. He switched a button on, and instantly, the area was filled with people. And they were doing the exact same actions Anya had witnessed yesterday.
A hologram?
Tripped by a motion sensor at the entrance to the cavern as you came in and snooped yesterday. Nice, huh?
And what about the real team? Where are they?
Buried farther down another tunnel that we dug and covered up.
I saw them in the chow hall the other night.
And then the next day, they had a tragic accident.
Oh, you're sick. All of you.
I'd wish you'd try to understand that I don't want to kill you. But unfortunately, it's just one of those things that has to be dealt with. And I've suffered far too long to have anyone interrupt my plans now.
Zack looked at Chuck.
How much longer?
2 minutes.
Zack nodded and then looked back at Anya.
So, this is it then. Let's see your hands. I've got to tie you up so we can get out of here. Mitch, keep him covered.
Zack approached Dave first, but as he came in, Dave suddenly lashed out.
Run, Anya!
Anya felt something hard slam into the back of her head, and everything went dark.
Wake up, Anya.
If this keeps up, I'm gonna need steel plates embedded in my skull.
Anya finally realized that her hands were bound behind her. She was also tied down to a number of wooden crates that reduced her mobility even more. Anya looked around and saw Dave's body lying nearby, a large pool of blood spreading out and seeping into the dark ground.
You killed him?
He left us no choice. If it's any consolation, he was going to die soon anyway. Maybe it's better he went this way.
Zack checked the ropes that were holding Anya down.
Chuck does such good work with knots. I don't imagine you'll be escaping from these anytime soon. Certainly not before this whole mountain explodes and comes down on top of you.
I never thought I'd have to kill a friend before, Zack. But you've certainly proved yourself worthy of being the first.
If you can somehow manage to free yourself in the next few minutes, I'll be more than happy to hand myself over without complaint. How's that sound?
Screw you, you prick.
Sorry, but I don't have time for that. Chuck, how are you doing over there?
It's done. How much time do you want to put on the clock?
Zack checked his watch.
Oh, it'll take us some time to get the snowcat started up, and I don't want to risk any problems given this damn weather.
What about the colonel's body?
It's being stored out behind the mess shelter. There's no security on it, so it shouldn't be a problem just getting it right on the back of the cat.
I can get that and head over to the cats. Once I get one primed, it shouldn't take but a minute to roll out of here.
We'll need two. Plus the tow hitch for the generator.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are gonna be low profile towing that thing back to McMurdo. You gonna kill everyone who happens to see you pulling that thing behind your convoy?
Only if we have to. But once we get to the harbor, it won't matter. It's going on board a freighter with the Liberian Registry. No one will ever know.
What about the ice floes blocking the harbor?
Nothing that a couple of portable charges can't break up.
Somehow I doubt the Marshal will appreciate you mining the harbor.
Mitch and Zack shared the creepiest grin Anya had ever seen. Mitch winked at her.
Oh, didn't you hear? Poor Marshal Dunning and his deputy are dead. Guess they weren't paying attention to things and wound up dead from carbon monoxide poisoning. I hear some replacements are flying in when weather permits. Of course, we'll be long gone by then. Anyway, toodles, you pain in the ass.
Anya watched him leave and then turned her glare on Zack. She tried her hands, but the knots were indeed tight.
Were you ever promised an easy path, Zack? Did God come down and tell you it was going to be easy? Did he renege on that promise?
If there is a God, Anya, I heard somewhere that he helps those who help themselves. And I'm just helping myself to, $1 billion or so.
You're going to kill an awful lot of people.
Yes, I am.
Boss, how much time?
30 minutes. That should be enough time.
Are you sure?
Do it.
So that's it, then.
I wish it could have been different, Anya. But don't worry. I won't lose sleep over this.
I know.
Bye-bye. Come on, Chuck, let's go.
Anya watched them leave the cavern. As soon as they cleared the entrance, she immediately closed her eyes. In her mind's eye, she reached out with her hands and wrapped them around the hilt. The sword was behind her, its blade touching the first of the knots. It cleaved through them easily. She leaned forward and cut the ropes binding her to the boxes. She got to her feet and scrambled to the detonator near the explosives. The digital readout blinked as the scrolling numbers flew past as it counted down from 30 minutes. She knew nothing about deactivating bombs. She had only basic skill with making them, and that had come from long talks with friends over lots of beer. Her mind was hazy when it came to actually doing it for real. Someone in the camp would have to know how to deal with this. Hawk. The demolitions guy who had attempted to disarm Anya's computer might be able to handle the job. If she could get to him without being seen, she had to try. Anya turned and raced out of the cavern. With the sword held before her, its energy rushed through her, making her feel powerful and capable of stopping Zack and his goons. At the fork, she turned and kept going. Ahead of her, she could see the lit shelter by the entrance. She had no doubt that if Zack, Chuck, or Mitch saw her, they would simply open fire on her and then try to escape. Anya needed Garin. No one would listen to her unless Major Braden ordered it. She paused by the door leading outside, looking for any sign of Zack and his goons. She saw no one, so she willed the sword away. She ducked out and instantly felt the blast of frigid wind slam into her. At the same time, all the lights in the camp were extinguished, leaving the landscape barely visible in the feeble light of what passed for day.
Oh, no. No.
Anya rushed through the snow toward Garin's shelter. At the door, she banged on it and then tore it open. An emergency lantern hung near the door, and Anya turned it on. Garin lay slumped on his bed, a giant welt on the side of his head. His shelter had been thoroughly ransacked. Anya slapped his face.
Wake up!
He moved sluggishly, his eyes fluttering open.
Oh, Anya?
You've got to pull it together. It's Zack who is behind this. Dave's dead down in the caves, and he's not the only one.
What?
There's a bomb rigged to explode in less than 30 minutes. It's gonna bring down the entire mountain on top of us unless we can get it deactivated. But I don't know how to do that.
They came in here and nailed me before I knew what hit me. Bastard.
Garin frowned and tried to sit up. Anya helped him into a sitting position.
Garin, pull it together. I need Hawk.
Right. He couldn't do squat with your computer. What makes you think he can deactivate the bomb?
He's the best we have. You've got to make him try. He probably won't listen to me.
Help me to my feet.
Anya got her arms around him and helped him up. Garin struggled into his parka, getting more stable as he moved.
All right, let's go.
As they came outside, Garin looked behind his shelter.
They've already got the generator. How did they manage that so fast?
Doesn't matter how. We can always catch up with Zack. Right now, the lives of everyone in the camp depend on us stopping that bomb.
Head over there to that shelter.
The wind tore at them both, and Anya pushed her way through the bitter blasts to reach the shelter. Ahead of her, Garin yanked open the door. Anya and Garin stepped through to the other side, which was illuminated by several emergency lanterns. Anya could see they were in a barracks, as several men looked up at her, startled. Garin removed his hood.
Where's Sergeant Hawk?
Here.
Get your gear and your crew, Sergeant. I've got a job for you.
A job, sir?
Yes. Earlier today, you weren't able to disarm the laptop bomb.
That's right, sir. Bombs aren't my specialty.
Well, they are now. Because there's a bomb down at the dig site, and if you can't figure out how to deactivate it, this mountain is coming down on top of us.
Anya braced against the wind and watched as Hawk and his team ran toward the entrance to the dig site wearing headlamps. She wished them luck. They were going to need it. Garin came up behind her.
How much time do they have?
No more than 20 minutes.
Look!
Anya spun and saw the bright headlights of snow cats coming out of the parking area. One of them had a tow platform on its back, and she could make out the tarp covering what must have been the nuclear generator.
They're already leaving!
Forget them for right now. Let's make sure everyone gets out of here first.
They won't believe me.
Now you know how I feel every time I tell you something. Don't worry, I'll take care of it.
Anya watched Garin move from shelter to shelter, sticking his head in the doors. People poured out and assembled together, and Garin returned.
As you all can see, we're out of power. This is not a drill. We need to evacuate the camp. Team up on the Snowcats and plot your course back to McMurdo. Leave 3 Snowcats for myself and my team while we secure the area. Move, people!
Anya watched as the organized chaos of emergency withdrawal started, as everyone cleared out to their shelters to pack. A few ran to the Snowcats to start them up.
I need to be sure they leave a few Snowcats for us and for Hawk and his team.
You take care of that and I'll head down to see how they're doing.
Garin nodded and rushed off. Anya checked her watch. 15 minutes. Maybe. Anya finally made it back to the cavern to see Hawk and his 2 men operating with the light from emergency lanterns and their headlamps. They didn't look happy at all.
What's the matter?
Hawk frowned at her.
What the hell are you doing here?
I had nothing to do with this bomb or the earlier one. You've got to believe me.
Yeah. All right. That job on a computer wasn't the kind of thing I'd expect you to be able to do anyway. No offense, but I've seen your show.
None taken.
Come here and look at this.
Anya walked over and knelt next to him. Hawk had an insulated set of tools with him that he used to prod several parts of the detonator.
Here's the problem. Whoever built this knew what they were doing. It's got 4 redundant backup switches. If we clip one of them, the others will fire anyway. We'll be blown apart.
Can't you cut them all?
We'd have to cut them at the same time, and we don't have enough people.
You do now. I can be one of the cutters.
You understand what you're saying? If we screw this up, the bomb will blow, even if the countdown hasn't reached 0 yet.
Hang on. Let me run back and make sure the camp is as evacuated as it's gonna get. Don't touch anything until I get back.
Like we would.
Anya ran back and found Garin standing by the entrance directing snowcats out of the parking area.
How long until everyone's gone?
5 minutes. I've got 2 snow cats held in reserve for us.
You'd better go, then.
What?
I'm staying to help Hawk and his team. The bomb has 4 redundant switches or something. They have to be cut at the same time or else the bomb will blow.
Don't be ridiculous, Anya. You can't stay.
I have to.
You could die.
Maybe.
Anya tried to smile, but somehow it didn't come out the way she hoped it would.
I feel like I owe it to Colonel Thompson and Dave, so their deaths aren't in vain.
No, you go. I'll stay behind.
I'm not so sure even you could survive what's coming.
What about you? What about what you have yet to accomplish with the sword? There's evil in the world, and you're one of the few who has the courage to face it and defeat it.
Garin, if what you just told me is true, then if I leave now, I'll be shirking that responsibility. And I might lose the sword. What would happen then?
I'll never forgive myself if you die, Anya.
Anya leaned forward and kissed Garin lightly on the lips. He looked shocked.
I've got to go.
She turned and hurried back into the entrance before she thought twice about it. Hawk looked up as Anya hurried back to his side.
What kept you?
Had to get everyone out.
Everyone?
We're the only ones left.
I'm an eternal optimist. You made sure we got a snowcat, right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this.
Hawk used a pair of wire cutters to point out the wire in question.
This one is yours. Tony's got that one. Don has the one next to it, and I have this one here.
The guy Hawk had called Tony frowned and looked up.
Hawk, we've got another problem here.
What now?
I don't have any more cutters for her. We've only got the 3.
Shit. None of you has a knife or something?
I got a Swiss Army knife, but it's only got a blade on it, and I don't think it's sharp enough to cut through exactly when the others are cut.
Christ. We're fried.
Wait. I've got something that can cut the wire.
You do?
Yeah, but you guys won't believe it. So I'm going to ask you not to ask any questions. Just accept the fact that I can cut the wire and let's move on from there.
Yeah, okay. No sweat.
I've got 3 minutes on the clock here.
Anya raced into the tunnel out of the men's field of vision. As she rushed back into the cavern, they all stared at her.
What the hell?
You said not to ask, but damn.
No questions.
Let's get in position.
Hawk backed off to allow Anya room to get in with the very point of her sword. He turned to her.
You absolutely positive that thing will cut?
It's razor sharp.
Okay. Positions.
Hawk placed his wire cutters around his wire. Tony got his into position, and Don did the same. Anya waited until they were set, and then she carefully placed the tip of her sword next to her wire.
Okay. I'll cut upward to sever it, just so you guys know which direction the blade will be moving.
Thanks. It would suck to get beheaded right after we deactivated this thing.
Don't make me laugh, man.
Sorry, Tony. You guys ready?
Don and Tony nodded. Hawk looked at Anya.
Anya?
I'm ready.
1 minute to go.
What's the count?
On 3. It'll be 1, 2, cut. Clear?
Clear.
Please let this work.
Here we go.
Anya tensed.
1.
Anya gripped the sword.
2.
Anya held her breath.
Cut. Tony, check the clock.
It stopped.
Anya stepped away from the bomb.
Did we do it?
Sure looks that way.
Holy shit, was that close. Look at the clock.
Anya peered at the digital readout display.
8 seconds. Oh my God.
Better early than late, I guess. Anya, thanks for your help. And I'm sorry that no one believed you earlier about killing Colonel Thompson.
Forget it. I'm just glad that we were able to stop the detonation. But what happens now? Is it safe to just leave this stuff here?
I didn't even think about that. I mean, I suppose we could stay.
No, you can't. They stole the generator. That's what this whole thing was about. There's no power left in camp. No lights, no heat. You'd never survive out here.
I thought this whole mission was to uncover relics that might have been from another planet.
Well, that's what we all thought. But it was all a setup to get their hands on the latest technology from the government and then sell it on the black market to anyone with the right amount of cash.
Damn. And there'd be plenty of people willing to pay a lot of money for that. Non-nuclear powers in particular. Cripes, can you imagine what that would do?
We know they're on their way back to McMurdo. Major Braden is tracking them, and we hope to stop them before they get away with it.
In that case, we better get going.
There's 1 snow cat left. It won't be comfortable, but it will get us all back to McMurdo.
When they reached the outside, Anya pointed at the snow cat sitting by the parking area. Its engine was already idling, and the wipers kept the snow from collecting on the windshield. Garin must have left it running. That was optimistic. Hawk and his men climbed in, and then Anya climbed into the shotgun seat. As soon as she got the door closed, Hawk put the gear into drive, and the snowcat ground its way out of the parking area. In no time, they were leaving the camp behind. Anya keyed the radio.
Major Brayden, come in, please.
Outside, the wind was blowing even harder, kicking up fearsome snow squalls and drifting snow. Hawk shook his head.
Look at that storm. You may not get any kind of transmission right now.
I hope the other snowcats are okay.
The GPS units will work regardless. They should be fine with finding their way back to McMurdo. It's just a question of how long it will take to get us there. These things max out at about 25 miles per hour. And you can bet the bad guys are pushing the pedal to the metal right now.
They're weighed down by the generator. There's a chance we might overtake them. Or rather, Major Brayden might overtake them.
Possibly. I wouldn't count on it, though. I think the best thing to do is get back and try to catch them before they leave McMurdo.
Anya glanced back at Tony and Don.
Did you guys happen to bring any weapons with you?
What, like maybe a large broadsword?
Funny, Tony.
We have pistols. That's it.
It'll have to be enough. You're going to need them, because these guys we're after are not going to play nice when we catch up with them.
You may not be alone, either. They might have a whole bunch of friends there just waiting to help them smuggle that generator off the continent.
The snowcat took another left turn. Anya watched the map on the screen and frowned.
Where are they going?
I thought you said they were heading straight for McMurdo.
Anya studied the map, trying to pick out a route and wondering how Zack intended to get the generator out of Antarctica. Going to McMurdo didn't make sense. Her instincts were screaming that Zack had some other plan than the one he'd told her about. She tried to put herself in Zack's mind.
Look at this. Is it possible to put a boat into shore here?
Hawk peered closer to see what she was pointing at on the GPS screen.
Between Burtner Island and that cover? I don't know. I think there's a huge ice sheet that completely blocks the coast this time of year.
Yes, but what if they traversed the ice sheet? Would it be strong enough yet to hold the weight they're carrying?
Theoretically, but it would still be a huge risk.
He's already taking a giant risk doing what he's doing. I don't know how much he'd mind taking another. I think he'll traverse the ice sheet and rendezvous with a ship somewhere around here. If they can put in just offshore, they should be able to transport the generator and get in on board without anyone knowing about it.
That's a long haul. We'll never make it unless we can get more fuel into our tank.
They drove in silence for some time as Anya formulated a plan. She glanced out of the windshield. Something about the area seemed familiar.
Aha! Pull over there.
Huh? Why?
Gas station.
She zipped up her parka, opened the door, and hopped out. The wind tore at her, and she had to stoop low to avoid being swept off her feet. Snow and ice particles bit into her and pelted her parka from every angle. But there it was. It all made sense now. Just across the way, partially buried in the snow, was Zack's original snowcat. She knew she'd find some jerry cans filled with fuel. Luckily, it looked as if Zack had drastically overestimated the amount of gas he would need, and there was plenty left. Hawk jumped out to help her load up, and they took a bunch more of the cans along, stowing them in the back of their vehicle. When they hopped back into the cab, the tanks were full, and Anya felt a surge of confidence that they could catch up with Zack.
He'll be moving slower because of what they're towing. We can catch up with him.
Let's see if you're right.
Zack studied the GPS display and frowned. The worst feature of this barren land was the incredible amount of time it took to get anywhere. The snowcats lumbered along at a slow pace, and the miles between anything remotely civilized stretched like years. He checked his watch. Horlick Mountain should have exploded by now, reducing the entire area to a pile of rubble. He frowned. It really was too bad about Anya. He cared little about the soldiers he'd just killed. They were an acceptable amount of collateral damage. He tried to picture the reaction of the U.S. government. At first, they'd be horrified that there'd been a disaster of that scale down here. And not knowing right away what had happened to their precious generator, they'd have to assume it was also a casualty of the explosion. They'd send in nuclear emergency specialists to try to contain the nuclear waste that would damage the environment. Eventually, they'd discover that the generator wasn't there. And then they'd panic. Zack allowed himself a smile. The plan had been incredibly expensive and elaborate to produce, but it had worked. Since he'd first heard whispers about the generator, he'd spent nights lying awake thinking about how he could get his hands on it. Now, it was his. Soon, he'd have wealth beyond belief.
You okay back there?
Zack grabbed the microphone.
Oh, I'm fine. A little sleepy, but it's been a long haul.
Yeah. Hey, the explosives should have detonated by now, huh? I'm surprised we didn't feel anything.
I guess we got far enough away.
Sorry about your friend.
Don't be. Just the cost of doing business. The money will help me forget all about her.
I think it'll help us all.
Absolutely. Have you both settled on a country with no extradition policy to the United States?
We were thinking about someplace nice and warm.
Hell yes. I never want to see another snowflake. How about a beach resort with those fruity drinks and umbrellas?
And chicks with thongs.
Another few hours and we'll be on our way. We can celebrate by cracking open a bottle of champagne. You made arrangements with the freighter to have some stocked, I assume?
You know it.
We'll talk soon, then. We shouldn't have more than 50 miles left to travel before we start seeing landmarks.
Zack disconnected and focused on driving. Once at their rendezvous area, they could stop, prepare for the meet, and take a breath. Soon, he noticed that the wind seemed to be dying down. Less snow pelted the windshield, and the outside temperature gauge was rising. Zack keyed the microphone.
Okay, we should be there soon. I think the storm is dying down.
How long once we're there before we can expect our pickup?
The rendezvous is set for just over an hour from now. We'll have to wait it out. We made much better time than I thought.
And you're sure they'll be there, right?
Yes, Mitch, they'll be there. Offer people a nuclear generator and you'd be surprised what they're willing to do for you.
As long as they show. We're dead if these guys aren't there to pick us up.
They will be. I think it's going to be a great day.
The snowcat jerked and changed direction. Anya studied the map and hoped she was right to follow her instincts. They'd be on Zack soon enough, and then that would be that. She expected him not to survive their next meeting. Anya glanced around the cramped cabin of the snowcat. She knew what she had to do. She just hoped Hawk and his men were up to the challenge. Hawk pointed at the GPS.
Look, the GPS is signaling that we're approaching our destination.
What does that mean?
Anya felt her adrenaline starting to flow, and she glanced at Don.
It means that they're out here somewhere.
Zack clambered out of the cab of the snowcat and stretched his legs. Mitch and Chuck climbed out of their snowcat nearby and walked over. Mitch surveyed the landscape and the dim sky before looking at Zack.
How long once we get aboard before you can contact the buyers?
Our auction will be held while we're on board. I've got a secure communication system set up, and we'll have the luxury of reclining and drinking our champagne while they all try to outbid each other. I expect it will be a marvelous feeling knowing that with every passing minute, we'll be exponentially richer.
Hot damn.
Well, let's get this done, and then we can toast each other for the rest of our lives.
Who the hell's that?
Zack spun to look where Mitch pointed.
It's not our rendezvous, that's for damn sure.
Mitch pulled out his pistol and chambered around.
Well, then it's someone who isn't going to be happy they stumbled across us.
Chuck pulled a pistol as well.
There's no way anyone stumbled on us. Somehow they found us. How did this happen, Zack? Did you give us up? Not too keen on splitting the money with us, you cheap bastard?
You think I let them know where we were going? Don't be ridiculous. I've got more to lose on this than either of you, and there's no way I'd ever sell us out.
Yeah, well, if I find out you sold us out, I'm gonna take a lot of pleasure in killing you.
Enough of this! Let's set up a crossfire. Chuck, get on the other side. As they come toward us, we'll press them with fire and see if we can't stop them.
Chuck glared, but moved into position. Zack watched the two men maneuver and eased himself back. He had a pistol under his parka, but he didn't really want to use it unless he absolutely had to. He looked at the approaching snowcat. Who was it? And how in the world had they found them?
Hawk, did you see that?
Yeah. They'll flank us on either side, hoping to catch us in a crossfire. They can direct fire and disable the cat, hopefully kill us before we can climb out.
Right. Well, we know how to deal with that. Slow down.
Anya looked back at Tony, frowning. He smiled at her.
What are you gonna do?
Jump out and flank the flankers. No sense letting them have all the fun.
Okay. Be careful, guys.
Tony glanced at Don.
I'll take the right.
Roger that. See you on the other side.
I can't slow it down too much or they'll see the action. I'm gonna stutter step it and then change direction to draw their eyes away from where you guys are.
We're ready.
Stand by.
Anya clutched her seat as Hawk suddenly jerked the wheel and turned the snowcat to the right. As he did, Tony opened his door and fell out. Hawk then jerked the cat left, and Don did the same. Hawk straightened the vehicle and then started aiming it in on a slight angle. Behind them in the snow, Tony and Don were completely exposed. But Anya hoped they could maneuver and get an edge over Zack's men.
What the hell was that?
Maybe they skidded on a patch of ice.
I don't like it. It's coming straight on us now, so whatever, right?
It's angling. It might be trying to disrupt our position. Chuck, keep an eye on the ground it just left. I've got a bad feeling about this.
Zack fidgeted with his own pistol. He decided he might need it after all.
Think they got something planned?
If I knew I was about to confront an enemy, I'd certainly make it my business to have a plan. Wouldn't you? Okay, Zack, you take over watching Chuck's flank. Shoot anyone who comes at us from that direction. I'll handle this side, and Chuck will make sure we don't get ambushed.
Zack looked at the pistol in his hand.
All right.
Hawk frowned at the scene before him.
Is that Zack I see? Looks like he's armed.
Yeah, I guess there was no way he was going to give up without a fight.
I thought you guys were close.
I thought we were. And now I find out he was lying the whole time.
Maybe not the whole time, but he sure did when it counted, huh?
Yeah.
Hawk rested his pistol on his lap.
This is going to get messy real quick. I don't have an extra gun for you.
I don't need one.
Oh? You have another sword tucked away somewhere, like the one you hid in the tunnel?
Huh. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, let's make sure we don't get hurt doing this job, huh?
It sounds like a plan.
Hawk gunned the snowcat.
I see someone over there!
Zack looked to where Chuck was pointing. He caught a glimpse of something moving in the dim light.
Shoot, Chuck!
I can't! He's out of range!
What are they trying to do?
Outflank us, you idiot! They know we won't give up this position because we've got the benefit of cover from the snowcats. So, all they can do is try and come at us from the side where we're exposed.
What about the generator?
Is it bulletproof?
How should I know?
Well, I guess we'd all better hope that it is, or else we might just start glowing in the dark.
Zack looked at his watch. There wasn't much time left before the rendezvous.
If we can hold them off, our connection will be here soon.
Then that's what we'll have to do.
You ready?
Yes.
Hawk lifted his foot out of the way, and Anya leaned down, wedging a jerry can on the gas pedal of the snowcat.
Okay, I'm set. I've got this cat aimed to avoid hitting the tow hitch carrying the generator.
Okay.
Anya gripped her door handle. Hawk gripped his pistol and his door handle.
Remember to exhale when you land and roll.
Got it.
See you out there. Go!
Anya pushed the door open and leaped out into the frozen air, her sword already held in hand. Zack ducked as Chuck started firing off to the left. Someone rose to a crouch and then fell forward. It all seemed to happen in slow motion. The snowcat continued rumbling toward them. Mitch fired two rounds at the cat's windshield, spidering the glass. The snowcat kept coming.
It's gonna hit!
Zack turned and ran as the approaching cat crashed into the cat Mitch was using for cover. He wondered if it would explode, but then the cat stopped moving, its gears burned out.
Shit! Wait, Mitch, I hear the chopper!
Anya rolled when she landed, exhaling hard as her body made contact with the frozen ground. It wasn't nearly as powdery as she'd thought, and the blow to her body rattled her somewhat. She came up to her feet and charged into the opening. She saw Chuck. He saw Anya coming and tried to turn to point his pistol at her, but Anya swung the sword, slicing into Chuck's arm. Blood sprayed, and Chuck dropped to the ground, clutching at his arm as it pumped blood into the icy ground, where it froze almost instantly. Anya spun and looked for Zack. She saw him leveling his pistol at Hawk, who had suddenly appeared right out of the very snow they stood on. The gun bucked in Zack's hand, the bullet flying off at an angle. Hawk smiled and leveled his gun at Zack. Zack looked down, surprised he wasn't shot. Behind him, Mitch stood, his gun's barrel still smoking.
No!
Hawk fell face first into the snow. Anya ran full speed toward them. Mitch wheeled and brought up his gun. She batted his hands away with the pommel of the sword and then cracked him hard with the flat of the blade. Mitch staggered back, clutching at his face. Blood streamed out of his nose, steaming in the frigid air. Anya caught some movement out of the corner of her eye. Zack. Anya dropped, spun. She threw the sword. Zack looked down in shock, then slumped to his knees. The sword had pierced the center of his chest. His body fell over in the snow. Anya stared at him in sorrow.
Don't move, you bitch.
With a sidelong glance, she could see Mitch was holding the pistol on her. His face was a bloody mess.
I'm going to enjoy killing you.
Well, get on with it then.
Mitch fell over dead. Shaking, Anya turned. Don stood, still aiming his gun at Mitch's back.
You okay?
Yeah.
Check on Hawk. I'll tend to Tony.
Anya scrambled over to Hawk's body. His eyes fluttered vaguely, but his pupils were wide, darkness already settling in them. The cold was too much.
Hawk.
Help. You mean this isn't the afterlife?
Not yet.
Thanks for helping make things right.
A little bit of pinkish foam spluttered out of his lips. Anya could see the darker blood inside his mouth.
Don't thank me.
Someone should.
Hawk went limp in her arms. She laid him gently in the snow. Anya picked up his pistol and stood as Don came back.
Tony's gone.
Hawk, too.
Shit.
I don't think it's over.
Don stared off in the distance.
Is that what I think it is?
Yeah.
Anya watched as the massive cargo helicopter came flying in, its rotors beating the ground in a giant swell of ice and snow. As the helicopter flared, the side doors opened.
Stand where you are! If you move, you will be shot!
Anya saw four ropes drop down, and then four men in black shimmied down out of the helicopter. They spun and trained automatic weapons on Anya and Don.
Drop your weapons!
Don dropped his gun. Anya closed her eyes and willed the sword away from Zack's body. Anya dropped her gun.
Think they'll kill us?
No idea.
Move back away from the track vehicle. Do it now!
Anya and Don walked about 40 feet away from the scene of battle. The wind kicked up a little bit, and Anya saw the helicopter spin a bit in the updraft. It had to be hellish trying to keep that bird steady. Whoever these guys were, they were really good. The four men moved in on the vehicles. As soon as they reached the tow hitch, they waved the chopper closer. As it came in, a new set of ropes came down, and Anya could see they were much thicker.
They're not interested in us. They want the generator.
We can't let them get it. Not after all this.
But Anya didn't sense any imminent danger, and she didn't feel as if they had to do anything just now.
Wait.
Wait!
Don, just follow my lead here, okay?
Fine!
Three of the men worked feverishly, securing the new ropes to the sides of the crate that housed the nuclear generator. They employed a series of special locks and cables to make sure everything was tight and unable to move in the wind. Finally, the men stood back and waved the crate up. The helicopter strained and then lifted up slightly. The crate moved slowly and then cleared the trailer, aloft about 10 feet in the air. Each of the men then attached himself to the rope he'd come down on. As Anya watched, the ropes were drawn back up into the helicopter by a winch. As quickly as they'd come down, the men were back in the helicopter. The chopper strained and then lifted higher into the air, taking the nuclear generator with it. Next to her, Don frowned.
Well, so much for the recovery mission.
We did the best we could.
Yeah, but now we have no idea where it's going.
Anya watched the chopper hover and then turn back toward them.
I hope this isn't the part where they machine gun us.
Me too.
Anya saw the pilot's window open a crack. His hand appeared and dropped something to the ground. It was too light to be a grenade. As she watched, the chopper turned and sailed back the way it had come.
What was that they threw?
I don't know.
Anya ran over to the small package and picked it up. It was a wooden box sealed with tape. She unsealed it, slid it open, and inside there was a piece of paper. Anya took it out and unfolded it.
Anya, my apologies for making you go through this charade. Zack wasn't the only one skilled at creating a lie. The generator is far too dangerous to be allowed on the black market. Therefore, I have done the responsible thing and taken possession of it myself. I will arrange for the U.S. government to buy it back from me at a modest profit for my time and troubles. And hopefully they will learn a vital lesson in the process. By the time you read this, I'll have left McMurdo. Don't waste your time trying to track me down. You know we'll bump into each other again, it's inevitable. When you get back to McMurdo, you'll find that there's an airplane inbound to extract the soldiers and yourself. Someday I'll explain how this happened. Perhaps over a nice bottle of wine. Fondly, Major Braden. Oh, God. Unbelievable!
What does this mean? Major Braden was a traitor? He set this whole thing up?
He may have set it up, but he isn't a traitor. And when he figured out that Zack intended to steal it, he took steps to make sure that didn't happen.
It's too weird. We have to show this to the higher-ups when we get back to McMurdo.
Anya looked at the note, then ripped it into small pieces.
I don't think that'll be necessary. Major Braden will be in touch with them soon enough anyway.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. Oh. Help me collect Tony and Hawk. We'll take them back with us.
What about Mitch and Zack?
Part of me thinks they ought to be left here, but I suppose that wouldn't be right.
We got the room if we tie them on the trailer.
And the gas?
We can salvage enough from the other vehicles to get us home, I'm sure of it.
All right.
Anya took a moment to kneel down next to Zack's body.
I wish it could have been different, but you made your choice. And I made mine.
Anya, I need some help.
She walked over to where Don was already strapping Hawk's body on the trailer. As the wind picked up, Anya looked out over the Antarctic horizon.
It really is strangely beautiful here.
And cold as all get out.
I don't know. After a while, you kind of almost get used to it.
I don't know you all that well, but I have to say, your life seems pretty damn crazy. This kind of thing would put other people into therapy for life. You're standing here enjoying the scenery.
Let's get going. I want a window seat on the plane ride out of here.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Anya tucked her hood in a bit tighter. Her life was crazy, no doubt about it. Her mind wandered over all that had happened. How Garin had arranged for the freighter to be one of his own, Anya had no clue. Garin had plenty of resources he could call upon, and finding moles working for him in the government wasn't nearly as surprising as it once might have been. Perhaps he'd wanted the generator himself all along, with the intent of holding it for ransom. Either way, she thought, he'd proved himself to be a far more cunning man than she'd given him credit for. Something to remember in the future. Someday, he just might fool her long enough to steal the sword. She didn't think there was any way the sword would work for him, but the thought of his trying to wile it out of her didn't repel her quite as much as she once might have thought. A smile played across her face. He'd won this time, but next time was up for grabs.
Rogue Angel Polar Quest is a graphic audio production. Rogue Angel trademark owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2009, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2009, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Michael Glenn, Dylan Lynch, Terrence Aselford, James Konacek, Tim Carlin, Ken Jackson, Scott McCormick, Joe Brack, Chris Rowan, David Coyne, James Lewis, Tony Nam, Jonathan Watkins, Mort Shelby, and Lily Beacon. Additional redshirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Temeskin Wubna. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Book adapted for graphic audio by Cheryl Hayes. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for the Serrano Legacy series, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Graphic Audio presents DC Comics Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Be careful, Barry.
Don't worry, I'll be right back.
My God.
Why am I brought from universe to watch its destruction?
Anyone have any idea what this is about?
I am the Monitor, and I brought you here to save the multiverse.
Only then, in a single, swift, and surprising stroke,
I will kill the man I love.
Damn you! I just wanted to see her one more time!
This is war, Superman.
This ends now!
Why are you fighting me? You're already dead!
I need more power! I need more strength!
Time for you, your world, and your universes to die!
Iris.
Crisis on Infinite Earths and all names, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics. Copyright 2009 DC Comics. All rights reserved.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net. where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.